gaggle of geese. More fun than a room full of wombats. Able to reach huge audiences with a single broadcast.
Listen, coming from that speaker, it's talk radio.
It's an audio extravaganza.
It's the Outdoor Journal.
Yes, it's the Outdoor Journal radio show. Champion of equal rights for people who like to fish, hunt, camp, and otherwise play outside. Valiant, courageous fighter who fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the Canadian outdoors. And now, another exciting episode in the adventures of Outdoor Journal Radio.
Good morning, everybody. A wonderful, crisp, back-to-normal wintry morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'm Angelo Viola. Stephen Labadie, Derek Brandeo, Justin Ryan, Manitad.
Two names in one.
Wow. Just threw that all at me all at once. I should read my notes before I go on air. All at your service this morning, shepherding you through the outdoors on this rather brisk. I was a little taken aback this morning.
Yeah, a little bit chilly.
Crawl out of my cave into this. Holy mackerel. I was getting used to that t-shirt and
shorts weather.
Yeah. wonderful program. Holy mackerel, we got some exciting, interesting guests on today. Not that we don't every week, but this week's lineup is insane. Before we get to that, though, I do need to remind folks about the wonderful fishingcanada.com free giveaway that's going on as we speak this month. It is a Garmin 8400 worth well over 5,000 buckaroos. I know it says under, but it's over. I found out yesterday.
Plus tax.
Well, no, yeah, but there, yeah, it'd be that. But anyways, beautiful. It's the top of the line Garmin chart plotter GPS mapping system, and it is outstanding. It's called the 8412 XSV, in case you're looking online for it. Anyways, we're giving one of those babies away this month. In fact, I think 2 weeks from now will be the draw. And it's absolutely free. All you have to do is go to Fishing Canada. That's Fishing Canada with no... no I or no G.
I-N-G.
Oh, yeah, grammatically incorrect. Fishin' Canada. F-I-S-H-N Canada.com. You go there and you click on the Enter Me in the Contest button. It will take you to a series of, it'll take you to a question mm-hmm. with a series of answers. A, B, C, D.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not immediately know the answer, and you don't want to strain your brain thinking about it, just push the hint button.
It's early in the morning, right? I would just push
exactly. Yeah. Push the hint button. Hint button. It's like a voiceover today, isn't it?
Oh, goodness, yes.
And it will give you the answer. It'll take you to where the answer lives. And then you get the answer, put it in the little box there, click off A, B, C, or D. And you will be automatically entered into the virtual drum. Now, that's just the start of it. Because if you do that, that's okay.
Got one entry.
Duh. Big deal. What you need to do is go in every 24 hours and drop another ballot in that box. The more ballots, obviously, you have in the box, the better your chances of winning the Garmin GPS chart plotter unit.
Mm-hmm.
Which is worth 5,000 buckaroos plus. So go in every 24 hours, fill out, or just answer the skill testing question. And that's it. And then on the 15th?
31st.
Oh, sorry, 31st. Yeah, we moved that to the end of the month now, didn't we?
Yep.
Yeah. We moved that to the 31st of January. So 31st of January, you'll find out whether you won or not. And immediately after that draw is over, there'll be another draw. And I can't tell you what the goodie is on this one, but it is...
it's in 14 days.
14 days from now.
Yeah.
Thank you. Did you just do the math?
I counted.
Wow.
One, two, three. Yeah.
Holy smokes. I'm impressed. Anyways, fishingcanada.com. It's a whole lot of fun. And while you're there, by the way, you know, I keep telling people to go there for the contest, but the contest is the least reason that you should go there. You go there because it's a treasure trove of fishing and outdoor goodies.
Yeah.
Right? In terms of information. Entertainment, information, you name it, it's there.
We're tap dancing for you.
How to tap dancing. There's videos of Stephen tap dancing naked.
Oh,
if you
no.
are so inclined.
You have to dig for that one.
Anyways, that's fishingcanada.com. Don't miss out on the fun that everybody else is having. What's in the news this week? Well, I'll tell you what's in the news. You know, how many times have you gone through an airport? I know, certainly I have.
Gosh.
And you say, oh, my God, do we have to go through this each and every time to check everything?
Yeah.
Come on, people. Let's get with the program.
Pat
right?
it down.
Yeah. You know, now, for the most part, of course, it's safety that requires us to do that. We want to make sure that nobody is, doing any nefarious things.
Exactly.
However, an interesting story came across my desk this week about wildlife smuggling. Apparently, it's running rampant. Yeah, wildlife smuggling through airports is a big deal. People smuggling live animals.
I've seen like the Border Patrol thing on TV, and people are smuggling like little turtles.
Turtles, I've heard of, like. There was a story. I don't know how the hell we talked about it on this program. Anyway, this guy was smuggling 8 pigeons in his shirt on his body. 8 pigeons.
Oh
anyways, that was hilarious. But this one is kind of intriguing because there was a chap who was smuggling scorpions, and not just a scorpion, hundreds of
Where?
Scorpions. He was apparently this happened in Sri Lanka, and the scorpions were headed for China.
Where did he smuggle? Did he tape them on his body?
No, he had them in his suitcase. It is a carry-on. He had a couple hundred venomous scorpions in his carry-on. Can you imagine those security patrol people when they opened that baby up?
Imagine them going loose on the plane. It's like this movie Snakes on the Plane.
Oh, my God. Imagine that. Holy. I never even thought of that. If they had gotten out on the plane, that would be nuts. Anyways, yeah. Apparently, the scorpions are used in traditional medicine in China. And the venom is used to heal various ailments, so they're in high demand. So the guy was, smuggling. As far as he's concerned, it was better than smuggling dope. So anyways.
Wouldn't just take the venom. Like, wouldn't just
they have to be alive? Now, why are you asking me? Like you're
thinking.
Asking me like I know this stuff.
No, I'm just saying,
we
just take the venom, put it in a bottle, and say it spits. I don't know.
I'm just going to make it up as we go along. Like the deeper we get into this, the more of this story is going to be fictitious. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Moving along. Ice fishing in Russia is in the news.
Ooh.
So we never think about that.
No.
We think, we're the ice fishing capital of the world, and then we talk about ice or lack thereof or safety on ice or don't be stupid, don't go out in the ice unless, you've got somebody's assurance that you can drive that vehicle out on the ice, because every year we hear about, things happening, disappearing off the ice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here, and we don't have that. We thought we had that cornered, right? That part of the market cornered? No. On January 4th, 37 cars were parked on the ice near the shore of a lake in Russia, and all 37 cars disappeared through the ice. I don't even think we've done that before.
No. That's a record right there.
Apparently, the ice wasn't thick enough for all that weight. Go figure,
That's a lot of cars.
Anyway, so far, 27 have been recovered, and 10, it looks like 10 will be permanent fish habitat moving forward.
Oh.
Yeah. 37 cars through the ice all in one spot. I laugh, but it's not.
It's not good for the environment, but.
No, but it's not good, period. You got to be safe. They obviously have a whole different set of ice fishing rules than we do. But here, make sure that you speak to somebody in the know before you go venturing out with your vehicle. Never mind walking out on the ice.
Yeah.
Right? But anyways, who we got on guests? Okay, speaking of ice fishing, we have Derek Hubner from the Pembroke Enforcement Unit of the Ministry of Natural Resources and Forestry joining us today. We're going to talk about ice huts as it pertains to garbage and waste disposal these ice huts leave behind, as well as abandoned huts on the ice, which is becoming more and more, I dare say, popular, but to the point where M&R had to, insist that all these huts are registered with a number, visible number, so that they can attach that number to a person.
Makes sense.
In the event that, it makes sense. But if I'm an idiot who's prone to do that kind of stuff, I'm not going to put a number on my hut. But
then
again, if the conservation officer comes around, obviously he's going to find me. So it's a catch-22. We'll find out how that's working when Derek Hubner joins us from Pembroke Enforcement Unit of the M&R. Being Canadian, what does that mean to you?
Drinking maple syrup and eating bacon.
Perfect. Perfect. I love that. Now, add to that, I don't know, paddling a canoe. That would be very Canadian.
Yeah.
Well, how about this one? We're often associated with running chainsaws. Apparently, Canadians run chainsaws a lot.
Just start her up and just look at her. And
no, but it's true. Think about it. I mean, you can't go out, you know, in the northern reaches of a community without hearing a chainsaw going in the background.
That's true.
Especially in the fall, right?
Yeah, that is true.
So that, we do have a lot of chainsaws, and we use a lot of chainsaws. But the question is, does anybody train us to use those chainsaws?
YouTube.
There you go. That's what I want to do. I want to learn about using a chainsaw on YouTube.
Today, I'm going to show you.
Well, today we'll be joined by Todd Fritzley, who is a certified chainsaw operator / instructor.
Oh.
There you go. And he'll join us to talk to us about some of the strange happenings when there's a chainsaw involved. He'll speak to us about the good and the bad. Adrian Rushforth from Mercury Marine. I saw him yesterday. I haven't seen him all year. Yeah, he'll be joining us. He's at the boat show that's going on this week at the Enercare. Used to be the Energy Center. Now it's the Enercare Center, the old exhibition place. And, tis the season. Boat show season already. Holy moly.
It's flown by.
He's going to talk to us about all those wonderful new products. I was in their booth yesterday. Oh, man. Pete and I did quick math. You know, we don't count too good, but we can add pretty good, right? So we did a bit of addition. We figure they've got about, I don't know, $100 million worth of outboard and inboard motors in the Mercury booth. You got to see it to believe it. It's absolutely amazing. For 30 million bisons, wait a minute, hold it. Let me rephrase. From 30 million.
Disclaimer.
Did we have a disclaimer? Yeah, we do, yeah. From 30 million bison when Europeans arrived in North America to just over 350 bison by 1890.
Ooh.
You say, why are we talking bison? Well, as you know, wild game, and in particular bison, is a favorite for all of us here at Outdoor Journal Radio. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about her for years. Well, although the population is not back to 30 million, as most of us know, it is, you know, on the climb. It hasn't recovered completely. But there's a lot of hybrids that are involved in this restructuring of the bison herds. Dr. Greg Adams from the University of Saskatchewan, who is working with First Nations to restore a pure bison herd. Pure bison herd.
100% bison?
100% bison from the original 30 million bison that were here when the Europeans first originally came to Europe, or to Canada.
Hmm.
Isn't that interesting? Anyways, he's going to join us to talk to us about how that's coming along and why and where and what it means to us. All that stuff. What do we got here? Now, you weren't too excited about that story?
No, it's interesting.
No, okay.
I'm learning to hear, I'm looking forward to hearing them talk.
Here's a question for you. Do we have 10 or 12 years before we pass the point of no return with the greenhouse gas emissions? Because, you know, in the news recently, that's all people are talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We have a drop dead date, they call it. Beyond that date, we cannot recover. A lot of folks are talking 10 to 12 years. We don't fix it. In 10 or 12 years, we're pretty much euchred. Well, we're going to be joined by somebody who has a little more information on that. Ross McKittrick from the University of Guelph will join us. Apparently, those who challenge the numbers or even question the formula in the scientific community, because there is some questions being asked, or are some questions being asked. Apparently, if you do question it, you get smeared.
Oh.
Yeah. As a result, there's a high price to pay for scientists who offer a different perspective on when the deadline. Nobody is saying it's not. There isn't a deadline. The big question now is, when is it? And those who look at the formula that says it's only 10 years from now, not a good career move for them, apparently. We'll find out. Ross McKittrick from the University of Guelph will shed some light on that. Boy, we got a lot of stuff. See, I told you, what an exciting program.
Crazy.
Yeah. So what do you want to do now? Thank you. that's right, kiddies. It's time for a break. No, it's time to have a quick peek a behind-the-scenes look at this week's Fishing Canada episode, nationally broadcast on Global Television Network, coast to coast to coast to coast, as we speak. This week, my co-hosts, Peter Bowman and Steve Nedzwicki, fly into BC's Rocky Mountains in search of what they deem polar opposites. Is that the name of the episodes? I'm looking on here. It's interesting. Polar opposites. They first find the mother of all weed beds on a small fly-in walleye lake. Yes, I said fly-in walleye lake in northern BC.
Crazy.
Because they do exist. I know that personally. Then they take another trip into a mountain gem of this beautiful, if you've never been flying through the Rockies in a float plane and seeing all of the, we'll call them ponds because that's what they look like from the air. They're just little jewels, little gems of water. All of them, all different colors. And they drop down into some of these unknown lakes where nobody's ever fished and catch some Arctic grayling on this episode that will blow your mind. It's airing as we speak on Global Television Network. Of course, if you're listening to me right now, you're probably not watching. Therefore,
go to www.fishingcanada.com, click on episode schedule, and that's broadcast dates right there. Or check it out on Global BC Channel at 1 o'clock.
Hey, while you're at fishingcanada.com, don't forget the Garmin 8400 is being given away in just a matter of days. So get in there and get in there often. Get in there hard. Get in there hard.
Yeah, every day.
Every day, hard. Be tough on them. And you two could take home this beautiful Garmin 8400 series GPS chart plotter on fishingcanada.com. More journal after this. It's a dare. Go away.